Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
We're under the thumb of every other country that produces oil. Why? Because we're no longer independent.
Yep.
But
and,
he did it.
It's a cleaner world.
Welcome to another Financial Guys podcast. I'm Mike Hayflick along with Mike Lomas today. Mike, we're not usually paired up. Usually it's you and Glenn and Spiraza and me.
Yeah, I know. Spiraza's turning into such a big shot that now we got to fill in for him. He's at a Trump event. He's got invited to another Trump town hall meeting.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
So the day Trump is getting indicted down in Miami and actually has to show up in court, then I think he heads up to New Jersey. And yeah, Spiraza, through his new grapevine of celebrity multimedia, social media people, he was invited to go and listen to Trump tonight. So I'm sure I'll be listening later. Maybe we'll even get a little look at Spiraza again on TV if he's there.
Yeah, he made it big time on the last one on CNN.
He did.
You see, CNN is just like blowing up. Half of CNN's like, I can't believe you let him on.
I know.
What a disaster.
Like, I know. Really,
you people are so screwed up, it's not even funny. The left is just so mentally ill at this point.
Best ratings they ever had, and they're complaining.
Yeah,
I don't think they should complain. They should actually invite him on every week.
Oh, it was a tragedy for them. Tragedy,
right?
That they would have him on.
Oh yeah,
a tragedy because the host looked like an idiot. That's why it was a tragedy. But I'll tell you what, it was their best ratings, and that's the only way CNN actually survived is being able to have Trump on, is because it was something entertaining for people to tune into. I have no idea how that is actually still around. Somebody's funding that because nobody's watching it.
No. Let's just talk a little bit about Trump and this whole indictment, Mike. I mean, 37 counts, the way Trump has described it. Maybe there's one thing he did wrong, but they turned it into 37 counts. A lot of people are saying, you know, this isn't like what happened in New York with Alvin Bragg. This is a much more serious and potentially more consequential indictment. So what are your thoughts just about the piling on of Trump?
Disgusting. You could tell that they're absolutely petrified of him, right? And I've said this before, the left, the one thing they do is they never stop. I mean, they are seriously like herpes. There's no cure for it. And just when you think it's gone or just when you think it's slowing down, it comes back. Not that I know that. I've just read it in health class, right?
Yeah.
But that's exactly what they are. They're like herpes. They just do not stop. They continue to grind and keep coming back. The disgusting part, we all know this is a political hit. We all know that they're scared of it. I'd like to know what he knows, because he obviously knows more than we even think, and that's why they are so petrified of him, because they're not going after DeSantis like they are Donald Trump. So Donald knows stuff on these, got stuff on these people that they're petrified is going to get out. We all know, anybody with common sense says, why in the world, you know, Joe Biden's got, you know, boxes wrapped around his Corvette with the garage door wide open, and that seems to be just A-OK.
Right.
And President Trump's got some boxes, and we're going to put him in jail for the next 20 years. Yeah.
What's really disgusting is how so many of these pundits, the left, the right even, they just pussyfoot around this thing. Like, that nobody's willing to step up and say, you know, what are we doing here? Like, is everyone blind, like deaf, dumb, and blind, like Tommy in the movie Tommy and the Who?
Yeah.
Like the pinball wizard? Like, nobody understands what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, come on. The only person I think who's really stepped up, and he's an impressive guy. Maddie and I, last night after dinner, were listening to a bunch of Vivek Ramaswamy's video clips, different speeches he's done, and the guy is really, really impressive.
So sharp.
He's so sharp. I want to play a little bit of a clip here from the CNN.
Well, sorry.
No, do you have? I think I have it. I think we've been texting. A lot of us are texting all sorts of these things.
Yeah. What I love about him is that he's doing exactly what you need to do to win, which is, and Mike Spiraza texted this the other day, he's going right into the lion's den.
Right.
Right into CNN, right after these people, and he's not backing down, which is so very important. You cannot, you know, that's what they want. They want you, you know, time and time again, we've said this about Mitt Romney when he was running, and why did he lose?
Right.
Well, the turning point was when he said, you know, 48% of people are scumming off the system and don't want to work.
Right.
And that's crushing us. And then he said, I'm sorry, I should have never said that. The I'm sorry part was what crushed his campaign hopes. That's what literally, you know, step on him like a bug, it was over because they had him. The minute you start saying I'm sorry, shouldn't have been sorry. Because guess what, Ron? It's not 48 anymore. It's almost 60%.
Right.
And
right,
once you're over 50, it becomes very difficult to push the stone back up the hill. So
that's right. That's right. This was Vivek on CNN, and this has been widely played and I think widely applauded for him and the way he holds himself. I mean, the guy is really smart. And if Glenn Wiggle's listening, he reminds me a little bit about Glenn. Glenn can take facts from like the past and put them in a really super coherent, very eloquent argument. Right. Yeah. And Vivek does this. Here's Vivek Ramaswamy.
Respect. I think it is shameful that I, as a competitor to President Trump in this race, have to ask questions that the media isn't asking. The job of the political media, if it has one job, is to hold the U.S. government accountable.
Yes, we know that.
And instead, we're doing the bidding.
We know that. Yeah. Do you hear that? She does. Well, I think I have to interject here, right? Because I think that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And you know they don't.
Here's what CNN has done. Made up lies and gone with it when Trump was in office and have totally become blind to anything the Biden administration has done. Joe Biden, he's so great and so smart,
right?
And, you know, and Trump, there's bad Trump. There's bad Trump. Hunter's out doing crack. They've neglected the family. Hunter, Joe neglected their niece, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, where is this poor little girl, the stripper mom that got knocked up by crackhead Hunter?
Right.
You know, how come Grandpa, the all-loving liberal left socialist, didn't take her under his wing, right?
That's just strong. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Doing the bidding of the U.S. government.
No.
Ask the question. Get to the bottom of what Biden told Garland and what Garland told Jack Smith. If the same shoe fit the other foot, you would not take their word at face value. Do not take their word now. Get to the bottom of it. Let's actually restore journalism in this country. That's what's actually missing is getting to the truth.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And then she moves on.
Yeah.
Well, here's some breaking news, folks. So just what? Maybe an hour ago, 2 hours ago, Vivek Ramaswamy actually has now filed a FOIA request. That's a Freedom of Information Act to find out exactly what White House asked of Merrick Garland and Jack Smith. So, you know, whether you like Vivek Ramaswamy or not, the guy will do what he says he's going to do.
Yeah, well, we'll see if he actually gets the freedom of it. We'll see if he gets the information, because we've requested that in the past. And I'll tell you, when you are in a liberal swamp, I'll use Erie County as an example, they know every way around trying to delay that as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you didn't request it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You should have requested it that way. Now, if you're one of their friends, right, like there's some left-wing radical groups in Western New York, and whenever they file one, Marky Mark and his team gets that information to them right away.
Right.
But if the financial guys file a FOIA request, it seems like there's always an issue with it. Well, so we'll see whether he gets the information that he actually is really requesting.
Yeah.
But to his point, the mainstream media should be asking these questions. They're not asking these questions. They should be looking into the shell companies. They should be asking themselves, how in the world did Joe Biden get $50,000 a month rent from his son?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he get that $50,000 a month? Is that house worth it, right? These are easy questions to ask. They couldn't be bothered because they don't care.
Right. And how did multiple family members get money moved into their own bank accounts?
Shell companies.
Like, This if this was Donald Trump and this the money was going to Donald Jr. and Eric and Melania and like, you know, everyone under the sun that Trump knows, oh my gosh, this would be like stop everything.
Let me tell you, if the Trump family was doing what the Biden family was done, CNN would actually do their job, which is they'd go out and hire a bunch of financial planners and some accountants, and they would unravel this whole mess. But because it's the Biden family and because they're socialist, it doesn't matter.
Disgusting.
Yep.
Let's just talk a little bit about Vivek. I mean, the guy is super impressive. The way I've described it is I love listening to him. I give him great credit for running for president. But I just don't think he can win. And the way I've described it is, if it's not him, if it's Trump or if it's DeSantis or someone else, I feel like Vivek needs to be on the team. So he's the guy, he's trying out for the varsity team.
Yep.
We got to get him on the varsity team. I don't know how much playing time he's going to get, but boy, is he going to be on that bench and maybe he comes off at the, as the sixth man. But then eventually he's like leading the team, maybe in points and assists.
Yeah.
Like that's how I see him. Like I don't think he's going anywhere, but I just don't think he can win.
Unfortunately, sports is a lot like the private sector in that when you own your own company, when you're the coach of a team, you're going to go out and you're going to try to find the very best players to win the game, right? Mm-hmm. And there's some coaches that do a good job of it, some coaches that do a bad job of it. In our world, you know, we are going to try to hire people and surround ourselves with people in our office that are the top-notch players, the Michael mm-hmm. Jordans, right? Unfortunately, that doesn't happen in politics. So even though it looks like right now,
right.
And Glenn has been saying this for a while, and rightfully so, we're looking for a candidate that wants to really, truly drain the swamp. I don't want to hear mm-hmm. about we're going to fix the FBI. I want to dismantle it and start over. I don't want to hear about the Department of Education and how we're going to fix it. I want it dismantled and gone, and let the Democrats fight over the next 50 years on how to repair the Department of Education. It's a miserable failure. Let it go. He has been saying that kind of stuff, right? He's been stepping up. Unfortunately, though, he might be the Michael Jordan. That doesn't mean that he's actually going to get the nomination. But that being said, and you know, you've got Trump, you've got DeSantis, they've got a huge head start. That's tough to make up, right?
It really is. Yeah.
You know, I bracket drag race for fun, and I can tell you that it's really hard if you're a very fast race car to sometimes race to a very slow race car because they leave and they're got a way big head start on you, right? And that's exactly what's going on with Trump and DeSantis, but to your point, he'd be an excellent vice presidential candidate, and I don't think we're done with him, even if he didn't win this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just starting. He's too good at it to stop.
I agree. He has a real mastery of history. I mean, the guy clearly has prepped for this moment, and whenever he's in front of a camera, I'll tell you what, he's very eloquent, he's articulate, he knows what he wants to say, and he says it really well. Again, I just don't think he doesn't have the popular, you know, kind of popularity you need.
I'll tell you what, though, he's going to gain popularity if he continues to do what he's doing, which is going on CNN, going on these left-wing stations and telling them, you know, what's wrong and how to actually do their job, because he's making a fool out of them. And folks like us love it, right? I mean, we're talking about this guy today, which is great. So.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot wrong out in California. I wanted to switch gears. This is just, to me, it's such a gross place now, California. Some of the cities, beautiful state, right? It's heck, from north to south, it almost runs the entire length of the United States. It's a huge, huge state. It's a huge economy. We have partners that live out in California. But when you read these things, you just think to yourself, this is so gross and so disgusting. How could you have a place that believes these things? So here, this is a California bill that could punish parents that refuse to affirm child's gender identity. So this is what it says. A California state bill was recently amended so that parents in custody battles may be liable for child abuse if they do not affirm the gender identity of their children. So now, if you don't allow your kids to have the puberty blockers, if you don't allow them to mutilate their own genitals by having penises cut off, breasts cut off, then you, the parent, might go to jail because of this.
How sick are these people? You know, rightfully so, we don't let a 12-year-old drive a car. You know why? Because at that age, they just don't make the right decisions sometimes, right?
Right.
We don't let a 12-year-old drink beer. You know why? Because they don't make the best decisions at that point, right?
Like, you've got to be 18 to smoke or get a tattoo.
That's right. You want a tattoo, just a little tattoo. I love you or a heart. You got to be 18, right?
Right.
But if you want to cut your breast off, we're going to put your parents in jail if they don't let you do it. It's disgusting. It has gone so far crazy the opposite way. I've said this for the last few podcasts, last few radio shows we've done. You know, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, I understand why there was this movement in the gay community. They wanted to be accepted. They didn't, you know, there was punk thugs that were, you know, would beat up a kid or bully a kid because he or she was gay. 100% understand that that's wrong. We need to support these people. Just be nice to people. My father always said it, just be nice to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Treat people with respect. It has gone to the point now where instead of respecting our soldiers in a month like last month, where we should be respecting our soldiers, they're taking down the POW flags and putting up gay pride flags. And that's okay. Look, I'm all for supporting you. You've gone too far. Okay, you've gone too far.
What I've always said here is these people that believe that about themselves and their own lifestyles, they need our affirmation.
Yeah.
They need us to say, you're okay, keep doing what you do.
Yeah.
Well, then these same people get into positions of power and they start doing these very gross, disgusting things to keep, you know, getting the self-affirmation that they need.
Yes.
Not because it helps all of us. It doesn't help the children.
Right.
They just want the children to say, oh, that's interesting. What's the big bulge under that weird woman's, you know, bearded right. face? And what's down there? I didn't know they wore those clothes. Like, they want affirmation for themselves. And it's really getting disgusting when the kids get involved. So after this bill was going to pass through the state assembly and get introduced to the state senate, they wanted to alter the California Family Code by saying they want to make affirming gender identity one of the legal standards parents have to meet in order to be recognized. And this is great, as providing for the health, safety, and welfare of the child.
Wow.
How on earth are you saying this is all about the health, safety, and welfare of the child? The child's 10, thinks that he ought to be a she,
right.
So I'm going to let him go through surgery. I'm going to start getting him on puberty blockers that could actually reduce his life by decades. That's taking care of the welfare of your own child.
This is
disgusting.
There's
Mike.
Kids that are 10 that think they might be Superman. We don't put them on top of a roof
and say jump. Yeah, jump. No, don't worry. I put a bed sheet on you, honey.
Have fun.
And we even sprayed it red.
It'll work out for you. Trust me.
Like what? This is like, honestly, like this is getting to the point where it's so aggravating and disgusting and vile that if I see these things now, it really, I mean, you know, we've talked about it. We're brothers-in-law. When things happen to your own wife or your own children, whether it's good or bad, it brings out this like crazy amount of energy, whether it's real positive or real negative.
Yep.
This is starting to do that for me. When I see what they're thinking they should do to children, it's an absolute disgusting mess. So hopefully, like, a Vivek Ramaswamy will come out and talk about some of these things, at least bring these things to light.
Yeah. Well, the country is voting with their feet. We continue to talk about this. They are moving to places like Florida faster than ever before.
They're
leaving California. They're leaving New York. It's not the left-wing liberal welfare recipients that are leaving New York. They're not saying, boy, I can't wait to get off this welfare in New York and move down to Florida and get a job.
Right.
They're staying firmly put in the great state of New York. Same is true with California. Now, 1 in 3, by the way, 1 in 3 homeless people across the country actually live in the state of California. So that'll be what you'll have is poor states and rich states, and you'll have a bankruptcy at some point. I don't know when that bankruptcy is going to be. You know, I don't know how long they can continue to kick this stuff down the road. At some point, you will see states like New York start to default on their debt.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true with California, Illinois. So they just can't survive like this. And when people say, oh, they've been surviving like this for years. No, they have not. It's been a very small trickle, a slight trickle out of New York, right? In the last 2 years, it has been turn the water faucets on, baby. The water's coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you've literally seen states like California or Florida just flip, go from bluish, maybe a little bit reddish, but bluish to bright, bright, bright red that you can see from Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And you continue to see the welfare recipients continue to sit here and destroy the great state of New York, which is sad to see. Total incompetence, by the way. Even the comptroller is a Democrat, is saying, look, we can't continue to do this. I mean, we're going to be short money again. Well, you can only be short money for so long. And it won't matter, by the way. People continue to tell me about the buyouts or the saviors or that are going to come. The Bidens are going to bail you out. It won't matter who's in office. It'll be the bondholders that say enough is enough. Because if I own New York State bonds and you're telling me there's a chance I might not get my money back.
Mm-hmm.
When I do get that money back, I'm not giving it back to you. Not unless you can prove that you're going to pay me back. And that's going to be a lot of work, a lot of budget cutting. So.
Yep. We're going to keep the conversation out in California again. And in a moment of weakness, I'm going to say, because San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria may have put his foot in his mouth. He actually spoke some common sense.
Mm.
City council members in San Diego are considering a proposal, Mike, to ban homeless encampments from public property. Right? Why not? Come on. Leave them alone. Leave these people alone. Don't be so mean. They need a place to be. But this is amid years-long frustration over the city's mounting homelessness crisis. So the city council, they're going to debate this proposal, but Mayor Todd Gloria of San Diego, he says the plan is good. He says, we need safe and hygienic sidewalks. That means people should not be sidestepping the feces that are on the sidewalk.
Right.
They shouldn't be stepping in puddles of urine. Mm-hmm. And the parks and canyons should also be free of people, right? Only people that want to actually visit.
Sure.
So in his moment of weakness, I'm saying, because I'll tell you what, I bet he got a real earful and lots of emails from the liberal left, the loving left, who don't want these people in their backyards, right? They don't want them in front of their stores.
Yeah.
No. Or in their homes or in their, you know, on their driveways. So he basically said, though, we need it to be clean. We can't.
Right.
This, he says, we are not a giant toilet.
He's right.
I absolutely agree with you. But I'd say this. Where have you been? Where have you been all our lives?
Yeah. Well, the shame of it is Governor Newsom, when he ran 10 years ago on his first campaign, he said he would rid the state of California from homelessness. That's what he was going to do. And he said he would do it within 10 years. So now in any other form of business or life, right, if you say, hey, look it, I'm going to make the volleyball team within the next 10 years, and you continue to fail and not make the volleyball team, eventually the coach says, please don't try out anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same is true in corporate America. Hey, I'm going to do my job. I promise. I'm going to show up to work on time. I promise. Then you don't do that for 10 years. You usually get fired. But not in his case. He comes out and says, I'm going to cure homelessness. And he makes it into the biggest shithole in the country.
Yeah, exactly.
And they say, oh, look at how great this guy is. He's just amazing how wonderful he is. Is it a mayor?
It's mayor. Yes,
yeah, the mayor's
Gloria,
100% spot on, and that you cannot make it a comfortable place to say, hey, look, you can hang out here, you can collect your welfare. One of the biggest reasons why they're moving to California, they're not moving there for the weather. I'm so sick of hearing that crap. There's nice weather in lots of places. There's nice weather in Arizona and Nevada. Lots of nice weather in Florida. You don't see this massive homeless problem in Florida. Lots of nice weather there, right? You see it in California because they move there for the ease of doing the crack cocaine and the heroin, for the free welfare and the ability to be able to camp out in a public space and go swimming in the ocean if they want to in the next day.
Right.
If they want to save California, and they need to start with stop, obviously, the handouts, making it so easy to do heroin and cocaine. You're a drug dealer there. Good luck. They don't even care anymore. Right. No bail. You want to rob less than $1,000. You can do that and walk away. Nobody be left. The Targets will move out. The Walmarts will move out. It'll be safe. There'll be safe communities that it'll cost you $20 million to buy a home. They'll have all their own goodies in that community.
Mm-hmm.
The community will be fenced in, and the rest of California will be crap.
And what you could almost imagine is there's just going to be like a caravan of homeless people leaving the San Diego area, going somewhere else in California where they haven't really quite smartened up, like Mayor Todd Gloria.
Yeah.
And then what happens? Then Mayor Todd, he'll be out of office. Then they'll work their way back down into San Diego again.
Yeah,
it really is. It's disgusting. They're not really handling the problem. These people are mentally ill in many cases. They could work. They don't know how to go find the work. They have issues.
Yeah.
These people, they take advantage. They say, geez, I didn't realize like I can actually stay here.
These people are mentally ill. Some of them are both mentally ill, many of them mentally ill and addicted to drugs, alcohol, right? Need help. And they're not willing to give them the help, right?
Right.
And if they really were truly willing to do that, right? They would be, I don't want to say easy, but it would be easy for them to help. And what I mean by that is you look at Mark Zuckerberg as an example, right? Founder of Facebook. I think he gave something like $400 million in the last presidential campaign to try to get Joe Biden elected. Now, I'm not really great with math, and I don't claim to be a real estate expert, but $400 million could have bought some high rises where Mark could have said, I'm going to get all of you folks out of Los Angeles and into these places where you're going to have a safe place to live, three meals a day, right? You're talking about almost $500 million in 1 year to help with the campaign, right?
Right.
Why? But as far as I know, Mark didn't give a dollar to any of that stuff. There's never been a, you know, hey, we're going to bring all these loving left-wing liberals together in California. We're going to put our billions of dollars together, and we're going to build some of these places for them to go. Nobody thought about this. Like, right. No, you know, they talk about it. They say we need your tax money to do that, right? I guarantee Facebook got all kinds of tax breaks as they opened up their buildings, and whether it's been California or pick a spot, mm-hmm. you know, they're not coming here to Buffalo, New York, and setting up any kind of a business model without some huge tax break and probably money. Hey, we need your money, right? And yet they'll professor liberal bullshit and not actually put any of their money where their mouth is. Ever, ever, ever.
So actually have safe places for these people to live. Maybe somewhere down in that same building, a drug center, a drug clinic, counselors. Have the meals, like you said. Maybe not then have vending machines that have fresh crack pipes and fresh needles and lip balm for those that are having chapped lip issues because of the drug addiction. Yeah.
For those of you that did missed last week's podcast, we were talking about that. There's now vending machines in New York City where you can go get a crack pipe, you can get lip balm, mm-hmm. You can get condoms, and there was one other thing in there. I forget what the other goodie was.
Narcan.
Oh, Narcan.
Narcan.
Narcan. Yeah. Okay.
So just in case. I mean, do this with a friend. Yeah. And all you have to know is your zip code. And so you can't get more than one item at a time. But you could just stand there and get one item and then do your zip code again and get another item.
Yeah.
You could pretty much clear out the entire vending machine, which I'm sure is going to happen.
No, they did. They did. It was literally everyone was cleared out within an hour. And one of the crackheads said, this is great. We love doing drugs. And to have a pipe like that and have access to it is just wonderful, right? Nothing to help any of these people.
My
so
God,
if I'm addicted to heroin, and now you've said, here's a pipe and some Narcan, but absolutely zero help to get me off the streets and get me clean. Right. Well, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to do more heroin. I'm addicted to this stuff.
It's almost like a death wish. Like these people, not the people doing the drugs have the death wish. The people that think they're helping wish that those people were dead. That's their way of getting rid of them, I think, is just keep, no. Keep supporting this.
Yeah.
Keep nurturing their drug addiction. They'll be gone eventually. Eventually, they won't be doing drugs with a friend who got the free Narcan and who put the lip gloss or chapstick on their lips right before they passed out and died. like at some point, they're all going to be gone. Like, I really do believe that. I think they're not looking to fix the problem. They're looking to get rid of the people that have the problem.
Yeah.
Don't help them. Just let them die. Like that's essentially what they're doing. So, Mike, a couple days ago, I was reading about, and this is it for our last segment, folks. The White House, they just cannot get enough of this. I thought that masks were gone. Like they had taken away the provision to have masks, but they said masks and social distancing will be expected for over 1,000 college students that were going to visit the White House.
Oh, my gosh.
So this happened yesterday.
Well, that's the group. You know, that's the group to brainwash, right?
Honestly, you're absolutely right. Like, of all the people, right? This is essentially like saying, this is the drug talk and inviting the 1,000 crack addicts.
Yeah.
Like, where can you find your fresh crack pipes and lip balm and maybe even condoms?
Because college athletes especially have really crappy immune systems.
So
You know, I would think that those would be the people you'd want to protect the most with a nice face diaper, for sure. And we've learned now with all the research of 2 years that how well they've worked, right? It's funny. I had somebody come up to me at a car show. He said, oh, they worked. I said, where? Where? Well, the New York numbers were better than Florida. I said, we brought up CDC to statistics. Mm-hmm. So first of all, the CDC is a left-wing radical group, number one. So I brought up some other statistics that showed that Florida was better. Mm-hmm. Florida's got a much elderly population, about 20% older than the state of New York. So,
mm-hmm.
But, okay, they were about close. We're arguing about, you know, so they were about close, but Florida was open the whole time. So less businesses got crushed. In fact, many businesses were born and raised and made in the state of Florida, mm-hmm. as the people fled the communist state of New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people, and we know them, business owners that got crushed during that whole pandemic. And and didn't recover, you know, and are still fighting to recover in the state of New York. So you've had one system. So you had the deaths about the same. Now, I think the deaths in both states were bullshit, most of the deaths. And we've seen that. And all you left-wing right. radicals that go, no, 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 I'll show you our death certificate. I can't show you the names, mm-hmm. but I can show you the numbers of people that died. And I can actually bring you in and you can talk to the families if you want, who will say, that's bullshit. The death certificate says COVID, but it actually they actually died of pancreatic cancer. That's BS. The death certificate said died of COVID, but they died of a motorcycle accident on the I-95 in Florida, right? So both states, right. the numbers are garbage. We know that because there wasn't this huge excess death count. You can look at the chart. Basically, deaths were right in line year over year over year. So, yes, not saying COVID wasn't real. In the beginning, it hit a lot of people very hard for about 2 or 3 weeks. It started to mutate itself. So I had this guy actually comes up to me at a car show. He goes, oh, the masks work. I said, how do you know that? He goes, well, you know, I had a family member who's a doctor, and he didn't get COVID until after he started not using his mask like 2 years later. I said, did you ever think it might have been that the thing mutates itself? And if you actually studied it, what happens is in the beginning, very few people get it, but they get a harder case of it, just like the flu every year. And then as it mutates itself, it gets way more sticky. So way more people got it a year later than they did it in the beginning. Way more people got it 2 years later. But the power of it was so dull and so muted. I said, let me guess. He got it, but it was a mild case, right? Well, yeah, but he still got it. Okay, you're an idiot.
Much common sense, Mike. way too much common sense to talk to those folks with. And you're probably just racist.
Yeah.
And you're probably homophobic and xenophobic and all those other things because you just didn't believe. So Joe Biden was supposed to actually greet these athletes. He ended up having to have a root canal. So for a moment, it sounds like Kamala Harris actually was the acting president. And thank God. I don't know. Thank God or not thank God. I don't know. How much worse can you get than Biden? But I just wanted to make this last mention. There were some inspirational words from Kamala. And she began in part with thanking Joe as our nation's champion.
Yep.
Who I'd love for people to call us or email our firm and say why you think that maybe Kamala's right. And Joe Biden is our nation's champion.
Oh, yeah.
What's he the champion of? I just love to hear.
High fuel prices. That's what he's the champion of.
He did it. He did it. He got us to the highest fuel prices ever.
That's right.
And we're basically under the thumb of OPEC. We're under the thumb of every other country that produces oil. Why? Because we're no longer independent.
Yep.
It's
a cleaner world. Anybody tell him, by the way, that the Antarctic has got more ice now? It's up like 5,200 acres or something of ice, new ice, or miles, or some crazy number. We were posted it the other day.
Yeah.
So over the last 10 years, more ice in the Antarctic, not less. But they forgot to tell you that. Mainstream media just left that out, right? Well, because it's not global warming anymore. It's climate change. Did you see Hochul? She goes, well, because of these fires in Quebec, we've got to tell you that it's obvious to us that it's just, you know, climate change. Everything's climate change to you, right? If somebody passes gas, it's climate change to you, Hochul. So anytime you can turn it into how I can steal money from you, it's climate change.
Yeah. No doubt.
But do me a favor, Hochul, Kathy, when you get out, make sure you buy a nice piece of waterfront property right next to your friends, the Obamas. That's what you should do.
No doubt.
Yep.
That'll do it for us, folks. Tonight, President Trump will be in New Jersey. Our own Mike Speranza will be there in attendance. So hopefully we'll get some really good scoops from him. I have a feeling Mike will probably have an interview or two to share, at least, you know, maybe not recorded, but I'm sure he'll be talking to lots of people there to see Trump and to hear Trump's comments after going down to Miami to basically face the consequences of being indicted. The first president, right, for a federal indictment, and probably has to be the first time that the lead GOP contender to unseat a Democrat president is basically being federally indicted. So a massive scam. Has he done wrong things? Of course. Yeah, he did some things he shouldn't have. But many, many, many others have done the same thing. And we do not have one system of justice. And the story will continue. We really appreciate you joining us. You can find this and other podcasts on financialguysmedia.com. You can also listen to us live when we are doing live radio on Saturdays, 1 to 3 p.m. For Mike Hayflick, actually for me and for you, Mike Lomas, we'll sign off. Keep up the good fight, folks, and keep listening.
rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.